Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I am Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and our podcast is all about reviewing things you can see on the boob tube, on the television, in the comfort of your own home.
Yes.
That's right, Dave. And this week, we once again headed to pay-per-view to find the movie we'd review. This week's movie, I'm proud to say, is
Serenity.
Shiny. So great. This is the first time since February 2nd that we've been able to see this movie. It was on at the right time. As we've mentioned before, pay-per-view is totally dissing the Whedon by not having this movie play at three or four channels. It doesn't even have its own channel. It's on a channel with The Cave and Skeleton Key. So it's very hard for us to track down the schedule of this movie and arrange to watch it. And we've tried a few times, and it just wasn't in the cards. But this week, it was on at a good time for us. We'll have to stop and say Dave is not feeling well today.
I'm all right. I'll be all right.
Well, I see you're talkative already.
Yeah, I was just waiting for the opportune moment.
Okay, so it was Dave's week to choose, but the truth of the matter was that Serenity was on at noon, and I was like, Dave, let's just jump on it. Let's just grab it while we can. And so we ordered Serenity.
I'm not a sci-fi guy.
As you've said before.
So I wouldn't have picked this in the first place.
You would never have picked this?
No.
Interesting.
I would recommend it once I did pick it.
Okay.
Once you picked it, rather.
Once I demanded you pick it.
Once it was picked.
So let's give a little short outline of what this movie's about. A couple years ago, Joss Whedon of Buffy and Angel fame came up with this idea for a television show called Firefly. And it was to air on Fox. And as most everybody knows, Fox sucks. And they don't know a good show. I'd say 70% of the time when they have a good show, they do whatever they can to ruin it. And that's what they did to this one, to Firefly. They played it out of sequence. They didn't like the pilot. They thought the pilot wasn't action-filled enough for them. So then they went with the second show.
Another prime example of that is The Family Guy.
Exactly, The Family Guy and Arrested Development. You know, there's all these shows that people really love that Fox seems to be like, okay, well, bye-bye. And Firefly was one of them. And I have the entire first season on DVD. And I watched them the past couple days. I've watched every episode. I mean, how good does a show have to be for someone to sit there for 6 hours for 2 days in a row and watch every episode? I mean, it's a damn good show. So Fox canceled it. There was a bunch of uproar. There was a huge uproar from fans of Firefly and of Joss Whedon. and Joss Whedon put together this movie. Put together the movie Serenity. So when we started watching it, Serenity, by the way, is the name of the ship. Firefly is the class of the ship.
Eh?
Okay, Firefly is the class of the ship.
Who knew?
I did.
How do you know?
Because they mention it in the show.
Yeah.
And Serenity...
So are they assuming that... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but are they assuming that most people are familiar with the series when they see this movie?
No, I think, as a matter of fact, when you watch the... This is the second time I've seen the movie. When I watched it this time, I looked for, you know, do you have to be a fan of the show? Do you have to have seen all the episodes? And the truth is, you don't. They pretty much drop in hints. You know, in the beginning, in the first couple of scenes where Simon is rescuing River from the government, he, you know, it's very subtle. He grabs her. He says, it's Simon, your brother.
Right.
So all of a sudden now you're new to the these characters.
I see. So little things, they give you hints.
Very little things. Things that weren't, that were very subtle. So it, if you had already known who the characters were, you wouldn't be like, ugh, why are they telling me this? But it's just like in little, you know, very subtle ways.
Gotcha.
So I didn't think, I think you could have easily watched this movie without knowing much about the series. I mean, you seem to have enjoyed it. Is that correct?
Yep. I definitely enjoyed it. Now, the one thing is, I too saw this movie because we saw it together in the theater.
We did see it together in the theater.
And I didn't remember almost anything about the movie. When I watched it again, I was like watching it for the first time. So I don't know if that's me or if it's the movie, but usually I remember movies pretty well.
Well, I also think that I think what you're getting to is that it's a somewhat of a different version than we saw in the movie theater.
Mm, very tricky.
I think
unacceptable.
I think it might be true. I don't know. I looked on the internet. I couldn't find anything that said it was a slightly different version.
Hmm.
But
both you and I remember differences in the papers.
In the papers?
Your paperwork is out of line. Come with me, sir.
I just kind of remember other things happening or not happening, and I don't know if it got re-edited for pay-per-view or. I don't know what version we saw. I thought that was kind of odd, though. There were, like, a few things that I was...
I got a hunch they're up to some fishy work there.
You think they are?
It's like anchovies over there.
Well, this movie, Serenity, takes place after the series. You know what I'm saying, Dave?
Alrighty. Oh, back to what you were getting at?
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, I just wasn't sure where you're going now.
I'm just.
Because about 3 minutes.
You threw me with the papers comment, so I'm just trying to.
Oh, a few minutes before that, I actually interrupted you, and I think you were trying to get somewhere before that. I was thinking maybe you were back to that, like you had some kind of methodical ability
to
jump from one to three, when skipping over two.
I don't know. I don't remember that far back.
All right.
But this movie, Serenity, takes place after Firefly. Not sure how long after Firefly. The last episode to air on Firefly is, I don't believe, is the last episode of the first season. So I think a few didn't air. So the last episode of the first season just has, you know, just kind of ends and they're going off into space. And Inara, who is the beautiful companion, paid companion on the last episode.
Private dancer. Dancer for money.
She has been known to dance, I think. I'm not sure. But I cannot confirm or deny that. But she, in the last couple of episodes, actually, of Firefly, she has decided that she is going to leave the ship. So when Serenity starts, she is not on the ship.
Right.
She is at some sort of companion training house or something.
She's essentially a female man whore.
She does not take kindly to the term whore, because as a companion, she picks and chooses her clients.
She is a distinguished, educated man whore of the feminine essence.
You will not find Inara on a street corner looking to make a quick 20.
Touché.
She has an appointment book. She'll have, she has a screen in her shuttle, and it'll show like all the guys that want to be with her, and she gets to pick one. She says, okay, I don't want these other guys. I will pick him out of the many that want to be in my company.
somewhere along the line, there's probably another companion who's a little down the totem pole from her. I mean, there must be a line between Streetwalker and Companion.
Well, I think they...
At one point, you know, one of these...
I think they refer to the ones that are not in the guild, not in the union of Companions. I think they're independent workers.
Ah, yes.
And I think they are also referred to as whores.
Ah, a whore.
Because they will basically have sex with people for money and not be very picky. But the companions, and you gotta, this is another time. This is in the future. You know,
yeah.
Things are a little different. Gotcha. You were mentioning last night about the way they were speaking.
Yes.
You had questions about the way they were speaking.
Oh, yes, they were speaking. It sounded like they were talking jive for a second there.
Everything things.
I expected an old white granny to come up and interpret it for me.
I speak jive. No, it wasn't jive. You have to.
It was like what mid. It was like space western.
Yes, exactly. It
space
was
space western jive.
It's kind of like it's if you were at Disneyland, it's kind of like mixing Tomorrowland with Frontierland. You have to see that 400 years ago, people didn't speak like we speak today.
Gotcha.
So you have to assume that 300 or 400 years into the future, people will not be speaking in the same way we're speaking today. So that's what's happened.
Fair enough.
They refer to this planet that we're on right now as the Earth that was.
And this takes place on Earth in the future?
It's not Earth.
Oh,
Earth,
it's a bunch of different worlds all around the galaxy.
That have been terraformed.
Galaxy.
Yes.
Wait, I got this written down over here.
Okay, yes. Why don't we
go
to your notes, Dave?
Earth was overpopulated. And what they did was they formed a new solar system. What else did they do? They terraformed the new Earth. And they made an alliance. So they have this whole interplanetary alliance with all these different worlds, right?
Well, the alliance...
But there is some resistance.
Right. The brown coats are the resistance. The alliance is the allied planets. What happened is that Earth, prior to the terraforming... was home to two great empires, one of them the Chinese and one of the American. So what happened as a result, that's why they speak Chinese often.
Ah.
Did you notice that they were speaking like once in a while? It had
a real Blade Runner vibe.
Yeah.
The city was like all Asianed up.
It's a definite combination of the two cultures.
You was kids over there, it's all Asianed up.
So anyway, so that's why they do speak Chinese, but they don't speak, it's never dialogue that you need to hear. It's always like, instead of saying, oh shit.
Was it definitely Chinese? To me, it almost had like a Japanese sort of feel.
It's definitely Chinese.
All right.
It's definitely Chinese.
Well, karaoke is Japanese, right? Or Korean.
What?
No, because like she gets triggered by looking at that like karaoke sort of thing that's going on there.
River is okay.
That's why I thought it was Japanese, because that's more like a karaoke. I think it's like Japanese.
Well, let's just get to what
the Chinese seem
the
to have
plot of the movie is
more of a rigid outlook on things.
The plot of the movie is that it goes on from the series Firefly, and in the movie, it's more River and Simon centric than perhaps Firefly was. River was, as a youngster, sent away to this special school, which really wasn't a special school at all. She was where she was experimented on by the government. They've taken out parts of her brain. You find that out in the show. They've really messed with her. And so she's a psychic. She is also very well skilled in guns and martial arts and everything. And she's kind of like she's almost like a sleeper cell unto herself.
I'd just like to say one thing.
What?
We've been talking for 14 minutes now.
Uh-huh.
And give or take.
Yeah.
And they were still giving credits at this point in the movie. Right about now, Joss Whedon is being credited as the producer, writer, whatever. Yeah. What are you going to have a whole movie in the credits going 60 minutes into it? That's all I'm going to say.
See, this is what happens. And now I'm totally thrown off of my train of thought.
Well, I was thrown off my train of thought by seeing them damn credits pop up out of nowhere. I'm getting into the story, and all of a sudden, Joss Whedon.
Okay, first of all, we do not speak badly of the Joss Whedon.
Well, I like the Whedon, but what is that?
He's the Whedon.
15 minutes into the movie, and we're still seeing credits.
He
I don't get it.
Is the Whedon.
All right.
And I hear what you're saying about credits. I personally am a fan of the George Lucas style where I don't need to see anybody's name till the end.
I hear that. Well, because just get it does. It takes before the movie starts.
Well, I'm not a fan of opening credits anymore. It takes you out. You can't concentrate on more than one thing at once. And yeah, I don't know if it was 15 minutes, but it was certainly at least 10 or 12 minutes in. The credits were still rolling.
Yep.
And that is kind of a downer, but.
Well, the thing is, they'll have 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes in where there's no credits, but then all of a sudden they pop up again. Why don't they just get rid of them in the beginning?
I would have loved to have seen no credits, and then the movie ended, and then you just see Whedon, just like in the old days, and then start with the credits.
Yeah, something like that would be better. Anyway, but, I'm sorry.
Anyway, Jesus. So River is now like a sleeper cell unto herself. They're a ragtag bunch, this crew of the Serenity. They go, and they go from planet to planet, and they do, in quotation mark, jobs. Some legal, some illegal, some smuggling, some just carrying stuff for people. And so they found themselves at a planet where they're going to get another job. And they all go into this bar to meet... To meet their next employer, basically. And River, who is always acts a little bit strange because of what she's been through, kind of wanders around this bar.
She's touched.
She's touched by an uncle. She wanders around the bar, and she looks up at this huge screen. This huge screen, and there's stuff going on the screen, and all of a sudden... this little cartoon comes on with the word Miranda. And holy shit, does that trigger her? That is her trigger word, apparently. And she goes into action and basically beats the hell up out of everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And
even the crew.
Even the crew, and almost comes to the point where she kills Malcolm. Malcolm Reynolds, who was the captain.
Mike the Plumber.
Of Serenity. Dave thinks he looks like Mike the Plumber. Every movie, Dave thinks someone looks like Mike the Plumber.
Insert Jeff Goldblum there.
No. Oh, no, 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 no.
Come on. We need Jeff Goldblum as the head captain.
No. Jeff Goldblum could have played Mr. Universe.
Why? Because he's a Jew?
No. I love the crew of Serenity exactly as they are. I wouldn't change
all right.
One of them.
Let me ask you, though. Okay. What else is that guy in? Because he looks like also, isn't he on Battlestar? I mean, isn't he on Stargate Atlantis? Isn't
no.
That's not the same guy?
Which guy? No.
The captain?
No.
They look exactly the like.
They do not. They don't look, Stargate Atlantis?
Yeah.
No.
The white guy, with the scruffy white guy.
Yeah, the lead guy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah?
No.
No.
Not even close.
I'm telling you.
I'm Dave.
Classic leading man look.
No. Well, for you, they all look alike. Mike the Plumber to you. Every leading man looks like Mike the Plumber. Like, Dave will come down, I'll be watching something, and he'll sit down on the couch, and somebody will come on the screen, oh, is that Mike the Plumber?
Mike the Pluma.
Anyway, so River has a freak out, and her brother comes in with a safe word that basically knocks her out.
Right.
And we find out that the government is, you know, and all throughout Firefly, the government is searching for Simon and River. They are fugitives. They are considered federal fugitives. So, because of what they made her into, but in this movie we find out that the other reason they're chasing them so hard, and they're coming after River and Simon, more specifically River, is because the guy who was in charge of doing all these experiments on her invited heads of state to come and observe,
uh-huh.
To observe her, and because she is a psychic. all of the heads of states, all of their secrets were exposed to her. So she has knowledge of things that she shouldn't and has never mentioned them, but she has this stuff in her head.
She's not even sure what it is she?
She doesn't, she pops it out when she feels like popping it out. She's very mysterious, very enigmatic, but the government is very afraid of her, and we don't really know why so much.
And the government has a dirty little secret, apparently.
In the series, we're not quite sure why they want her specifically, but now in this movie, they give specifics.
It's the PAX, I tell you.
And they send an operative, a nameless, rankless operative.
With an English, a black man with an English accent.
To come after, to track her down, basically. To track down River and bring her back.
Anyone out there see Rock School? There used to be a guy on Rock School who reminded me of that. You know Rock School?
I don't know what Rock School is.
It was like an English-produced show back in the 80s where they'd teach you how to play rock music.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, and they'd have like this, they'd have this really square white guy being like, okay, now, let's play some funk. Finger technique for funk.
He's like, shut up.
Let's watch this Bootsy Collins and observe how he plays funk, you know?
Are you kidding?
Yep, and they had like a really generic like black guy who was like really like white bread, but he had an English accent. And he was like, okay now, when you're playing a rhythmic figure applied to rock and funk.
What channel was this on? Was this on like PBS?
PBS, or baby, Rock School. This is some classic shit. Anyway, the assassin reminded me of one of the teachers on Rock School.
Well, because he was a black guy and he was very soft spoken, and he never raised his voice. He never got angry. He was also trained by the Alliance, and he also was doing what he did for the Alliance. He was like a bounty hunter assassin.
He was committed to the cause.
He was committed to the cause because in his heart of hearts, he thought that the Alliance was the best way for all these planets, was the best form of government for these planets. He thought that the Alliance was a good thing.
He didn't know the dirty little secret.
He didn't know, right. He didn't know a lot of the secrets, and he just assumed that there were none. So the movie is basically, the plot of the movie is that this nameless operative is chasing them and trying to get at River. And along the way, there's some adventures, and they find out. And there's also the Reavers. The Reavers are more prominent in this one. We have heard about the Reavers in the shows.
Don't fear the Reaver.
But the Reavers are explained to us as men who live on the edge of the planets, on the outer rim planets, who have become desperate, and they don't agree with the Alliance. They almost make them sound like they are...
like pirates.
Yeah, but they make them sound like they are almost revolutionary. And that because they've gone against the Alliance and they're in the outer rim of planets, they have turned to raping and pillaging and killing one another and cannibalism because they're not with the Alliance.
Right.
They kind of make it... It's very subtle, but that's what they... they're trying to drive you at. That's what's wrong with the Reavers. And we find out towards the very end, that's not what's wrong with the Reavers. The Reavers are not just regular people who are against the Alliance, who've gone crazy and started eating one another because they, you know, because they're out of favor with the Alliance. We find out that they're that way because the Alliance had been testing, had been experimenting. They had terraformed a new planet, Miranda, and not only had they terraformed it, they had started pumping in a gas, kind of like a Paxil gas, or a, right?
Yep, that's what they called it.
But instead of Paxil, they called it Pax something else. But it was, they were pumping in this gas form of, not antidepressant, but what would you call it?
It was a...
like a sedative,
a calming,
almost.
Calming yeah. drug. A sedative, yeah.
They had pumped it in, and it had done the job too well. It had made the people not even want to work. They didn't, they were, they had become not even...
It took away their will to live.
Yeah, they would just not even eat.
Well, no, what it was it took away their, basically, I got the impression that it took away their desire to be aggressive.
Well, that was what they did at first. That's what happened at first, but then what eventually happened was they lost all motivation to do anything. They wouldn't even get out of their chairs to eat.
So what Whedon's saying is that aggressiveness is necessary. You got to have aggression. Otherwise, without it, you're all going to die.
Well, what happened was
aggressive man that Whedon.
These people just basically died where they stood. They died because they didn't feed themselves. They didn't take care of themselves, and they didn't seem to care. This drug that they had pumped in, the PAX, had made them completely overly complacent to the point where they had no motivation, they had no ambition, they just sat there and died.
That's part A of the secret.
But, as with any drug, there is a percentage of people who are not affected the proper way.
They had the reverse effect.
Exactly, and it made them aggressive monsters. And those are the Reavers.
Part B of the secret.
Part B of the secret.
You got a compound secret going on over here.
Yeah, well, because the Reavers are a big part of the whole Firefly Serenity existence. You know, the Reavers are the boogeyman.
Right, like the Wraith.
Kind of like the Wraith, but the Wraith are a whole alien, are an alien race.
I like the Wraith.
Dave
like
has switched back to Stargate Atlantis.
I like Stargate Atlantis just as much as this one. You know what I'm saying? They're both good.
Yeah, but this is Stargate.
And this one, you know, that one has Momoa.
That one does have Jason Momoa, who is on my top three list of black men with dreadlocks.
That one has Momoa, it's got a J-Lo lookalike, and it's got Mike the Plumber. So what are you missing?
What are you saying? We are right now talking about a major motion picture
release. This one didn't have Momoa. It should have had Momoa and Jeff Goldblum and Joaquin Phoenix as the brother. Eh?
Joaquin Phoenix as Simon.
Simon, a creepy brother.
Simon the Creepy Brother.
Exactly.
I would like you to read more from your notes, because I stood over your notes last night and I was quite astounded by them.
Well, I'll only tell you some of them.
No, I want you to tell them all.
No.
Why not?
Because some of them are verging on racist.
Yeah, that's true. That one I don't want
racist.
I don't want you to say that one.
I don't like credits.
We know.
Jeff Goldblum as the ruler of the world.
What do you mean, Jeff Goldblum is the ruler of the world? What world?
Our world. Joss Whedon loves violins and acoustic guitars.
Well, no. Dave, yeah? Let me talk to you about the music for Firefly, and then David Newman did the
Dirty
score.
Dirty girl in love with brother. Eh?
Okay, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
The music, the score, this score is done by David Newman. And
was he like related to Randy Newman?
The music is supposed to be a mix of
Gary Newman.
I am going to personally just poke you.
Okay, sorry.
It's supposed to be a mix of Chinese stringed instruments and something that has a Western flair to it.
Ah.
So that's where the music comes from, and I think it's great. I think he did a great job on this the score.
Well, what I want to know is, why didn't they use the theme from Firefly in this movie?
I wanted to know that, too. And I think...
Some sort of licensing problem.
No. That has nothing to do with licensing. I honestly think that he wanted it to not be too much like the TV show, so people wouldn't say, well, why didn't you just make a made-for-TV movie?
Gotcha.
So I think he just didn't put the song in. Though I wish he would have, even after the credits, you know, for people who sit there for the whole credits... Just throw it in at the very end so we can raise our lighters to the screen and sing along. You can't take the sky from me, Dave.
I wouldn't try.
Okay.
I wasn't going to do that over there.
Over there? Well, you got
to... At this point, I want to give a shout out to Adam Baldwin, all right? Because I like that guy.
Oh, yes.
Ever since My Bodyguard, he was like a hero figure.
My Bodyguard is one of the best kids' movies to come out in that era. I think it's 1980, 81, 79.
That was classic.
Was it after Meatballs?
Is he in Meatballs?
No, but Chris Makepeace is in Meatballs. He's
the same kid.
He's the kid that hires my bodyguard.
Exactly.
So it was right around the same time as Meatballs. And I mean, to be honest, if you haven't seen My Bodyguard with Adam Baldwin, you need to get it. You need to rent it, download it. Put it in your Netflix queue. It's a great movie, and Adam Baldwin is a great actor, a great kid actor in that.
Yep.
And you know who plays the bad kid?
Who's that?
Your friend, Chiclet Teeth.
Chiclet Teeth. We have a few of those.
Matt Dillon.
Ah, of course. Tex.
He plays the bad kid, and he is bad. He really plays a good asshole, because he was an asshole in that movie.
Matt Dillon's a great actor, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Adam Baldwin in this movie was incredible in My Bodyguard. And so then we flash forward 20 years, and Adam Baldwin is appearing on Angel.
Yep.
A Joss Whedon show, as is Gina Torres.
The black chick.
The black chick, a.k.a. Dave likes to call her the black chick. I know her name to be Zoe.
She's the Uhuru of the movie.
She is not the Uhuru of the movie.
Is it Uhuru or Uhura?
Uhura.
Because it's Black Uhuru, the group.
She is not the Uhura. Uhura is a communication specialist who just sits there and plays the computer. Zoe is a warrior.
Ah.
Zoe might be the toughest chick in the universe.
I wasn't sure what her role was.
The toughest chick in the verse, as they would like to say. What do you mean you're not sure what her role is?
I don't know. I didn't know what she was all about.
She and the captain, she and Malcolm Reynolds were in the war together, fighting the Alliance.
I see.
They were brown coats.
Uh-huh. That's why whenever he has a conscience, he looks at her.
She has stayed with him after the war, when a lot of their fellow soldiers were killed. She has stayed loyal to him.
Right.
And so she has been on the ship with him for 6 or 7 years. So that's where they come from.
Same with Adam Baldwin's character?
No.
What?
Adam Baldwin was a mercenary.
Jane.
A mercenary who they...
Sweet Jane.
Who they talked into joining them. They were getting robbed by Adam Baldwin and two other thieves.
He crossed over.
He crossed over.
Gotcha.
He crossed over. That happens in an episode called Out of Gas, I believe. That's the episode where they reveal that.
Gotcha.
But what else do your notes say? Or would you like to talk more about Adam Baldwin? Because
my notes get thin at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you were writing Fast and Furious yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, I already talked about that stuff.
All right.
Metal.
Do you know why you wrote Metal?
Yeah, because I love that Pink Floyd album, Metal.
You're so retarded.
And now I know what they're talking about. Meddling into people's minds and lives.
Right.
Keep your filthy paws out of my brain, freak.
In a flashback when we have... And you know what the thing is? In the television show, they had a different girl playing Young River. And I guess maybe she just aged a little bit because it's not the same girl in the movie.
This girl's good.
The one who plays the little girl? I'm not talking about... No, River is River in the...
Oh, who are you talking about?
The Young River. When she's
Young
in the school.
River.
When she's in the school and she's little, like she's 10 or so.
Uh-huh.
It's a different girl that plays Young River.
Well, that's a small detail.
Yeah, but it's a detail. And anyway, in a flashback, a River flashback, she's sitting there in a class with all these other kids who I guess are the same as her. Are secret weapons, basically, or being trained to be. And the teacher's talking about how great the Alliance is and all this other stuff. And River's the only one to pipe up and says, meddle. They're meddling in people's business. And she kind of gets punished for that with some weird brain activity. But what did you think of the movie? Other than, you know, do you have any questions about the plot? Did anything like you were watching? Because you haven't seen the show. I don't think you've seen one episode.
No, I have no questions about the plot. All I will say is that...
Can you name all the people on the on the movie? Can you name all the characters?
Yeah, I could name them.
Okay.
But I'm not going to.
Yes, you are.
No.
There's 9 main characters, other than the nameless operative. There's 9 members of the Serenity crew. Let's see if you know who they are.
You name them, because I don't
know. Everyone knows I'm going to know them.
I don't want to name them.
Okay, just say who they are, and I'll tell you what their names are.
Adam Baldwin.
Jane. You knew that, though.
I don't feel like naming them.
I'm sorry, you have to.
I don't want to name them.
Why? I don't want to say. Sturt. Why don't you want to? You just don't, you don't. I think we should talk about each one. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Malcolm Reynolds, who's the captain and the owner of Serenity.
Mike the plumber.
That's you, who you consider Mike the plumber, is Malcolm Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe.
She's Jasmine from Angel.
She's Jasmine from Angel. That's right.
Don't know much about her.
Well, I told you she's a
then
warrior.
There's her husband, the guy.
Wash.
Leaf on a Wind.
Leaf on a Wind, Wash. Then there's...
What else has he been in? He looks familiar.
He does look familiar. I don't know.
He looks like a guy, you know, everyone knows or something.
He does kind of look like a guy everyone knows. I like Wash.
He's like the smart guy.
He's like the smart ass guy. He's a smart ass. Then we've got Shepherd Book.
Oh, Venus the Flytrap.
No, he's not Venus Flytrap.
Barn.
He's from, right. He's Harris from Barney
Harris,
Miller.
Harris, exactly. Very hip, intellectual black cat from Barney Miller.
He was one of the best parts about Barney Miller. He was the one black guy in the precinct. And or at least in that detective squad.
Who's the other guy? The guy with the glasses?
What are you talking about?
He's a very funny man.
Where? In Barney Miller?
Yes. The funny man.
The funny man.
He's funny. Steve. Landsberg?
Landsberg? Yeah, I think so. He looks like Doc from Love Boat, right?
Exactly. You know what? The thing about Barney Miller is that show is actually... not as good as everyone in it. Like, each person in the show was better than the actual show. Like, if you go back and watch that show, it's not even that good.
Yeah, but what's the one, the guy who brings in the pot brownies?
Fish?
No, not Fish. The other guy, the Asian guy, who brings in the pot brownies?
Jack Wu?
Is he the one who brings in the brownies? The pot brownies? And they all eat them? That's a classic episode.
I kind of remember it.
Oh, that's the classic episode.
Abe Vigoda, that's a great cast. That's an ingenious cast. Ron Carey,
Wojciechowicz.
Exactly, the whole thing is ingenious.
Gale, what is his name? Gale something. Max
remember.
Gale.
Yeah.
That was a great, you're right, the cast is great, and it, you know, the writing wasn't always great, but I think Harris, Ron Glass, a.k.a. Shepherd Book and Serenity.
Was a highlight.
He was a highlight.
And he's great in this. He's good.
He's really
everybody,
great.
Who doesn't like Ron Glass? You got to be a racist not to like Ron Glass. All right? That's all I'm saying.
You think so? You think people who don't like him are because they're racist?
Unless personally Ron Glass has done you wrong, how could you not like Ron Glass?
I hear that. And he has not personally done anything wrong to me.
Exactly.
So we have River and Simon.
Right.
The brother and sister who are what really this whole adventure is about.
Just a little too close, if you ask me.
He is very protective of her. I know you're trying to suggest that perhaps there's something filthy going on there.
Well, I don't know what goes on, but it's not exactly normal. I'll say that, yes.
Then there's Kaylee.
The dirty girl.
Dave likes to refer to her as the dirty girl.
The dirty girl with a use for batteries. That is very obscene.
She is dirty, but he doesn't mean she's dirty like porn dirty. He just means her face is dirty.
But then she's dirty because she has that whole battery thing.
Well, you know what it is? It's that she's so sweet and innocent looking that...
She's dirty.
What do you... Now, which way do you mean she's dirty now?
I don't know.
Oh, God. And Anara?
The whoa.
She's not a whore.
You're a whoa.
She's not. She's a companion. Now, have I named everybody? Because now I think you might have been throwing me off. Anara, Simon, River, Zoe, Wash, Malcolm, Shepherd Book. Oh, shit.
How many is that?
Anara. There's 9 people on Serenity. Malcolm, Zoe, Wash, Jane, Simon, River, Shepherd, Kaylee, Anara. I guess I was forgetting Shepherd.
I don't know that you're forgetting, Sheva, because I recall you were saying it, but anyway, okay.
You are into this show.
I like the show a lot, and I, like I said, I just sat there for 2 days in a row and watched, I guess, 15 hours of Firefly prior to seeing the movie. Just because I wanted to be fresh in my mind what the differences were, what loose ends had been tied up, what hadn't. And one of the things that they didn't touch on, and in the story, in the series, they kind of allude to Shepard maybe not really being a Shepard. There's a few episodes where he gets shot at, and the Alliance comes, and he shows them a special ID card, and they all of a sudden everybody's tight-lipped, and they take care of him right away, and there's no questions asked. And then in one of the later episodes, a bounty hunter comes looking for River, and Malcolm says to the bounty hunter, I think it's Malcolm, says, "You would hurt a Shepard?" And the guy looks at him and goes, "I ain't no Shepard." So there's like this weird thing, like you don't really know. Is he a Shepard? Is he not? What's his deal? And they don't really expand on it in the movie. I would have liked to have that straightened out for me. And I'm. Do you think there's going to be a sequel?
I don't think so.
You don't think there's going to be a sequel?
Nope.
You think they killed off? And I was shocked when they killed off one person in particular.
I just don't think there's going to be a sequel because I don't think there's going to be any studio backing of it.
Well, there wasn't studio backing for Empire Strikes Back.
This was on one channel once a day, once a month or something on pay-per-view.
I know, exactly. There's so many...
I don't think they're getting the backing.
You think that... you're actually saying you think somebody's trying to...
He'll move on to another project and he'll do that. I mean, Joss Whedon's not going to be unemployed.
No, God,
don't think
no.
This project's going to go much further.
Oh.
I could be completely wrong.
You know what? I'm hoping in my heart of hearts, that you are completely wrong.
I understand.
Do you?
You like the show.
I love it. It's a great show. I thought it was a great movie. What was the best part of the movie for you?
I, once again, see, I don't like movies where I feel like defenseless. Where I see opportunities for the victim to get out of it when they don't get out of it. I'm like, well, what is that? You know, I don't like that. So I like in this movie how Mike the Plumber...
Malcolm Reynolds.
Is, I like how he, like, you know, doesn't always think out the consequences. He just acts. I like how he acts. I liked how he just shot the assassin cat when the guy says, "I'm unarmed." And then without... A second later, he shoots him.
Right.
Well, he should have shot him in the head, of course, but he shot him in the body armor, but he did shoot him. I like that. I don't like to be smarter than the character in the movie.
So, okay, I understand what you're saying. It's like the people running through the woods when the monster's chasing them, it's how they trip.
Yeah, if it's a woman, they always trip. To this day, they trip. Did the woman trip in this one? I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
I saw something recently where a woman tripped. Oh, it was... It was Stargate Atlantis.
There you go.
One of those women was tripping, baby.
See, but yet you like Stargate Atlantis.
I do. Well, it's classic. A woman's always going to fall. They're the weaker sex. That's what they wanted to let you know.
Well, what was the worst part of the movie for you?
Not that I believe that. I'm just, you know.
What was the worst part of the movie with you? Going on.
The worst part of the movie was... what was the worst part for you? I can't even think of a worst part.
The worst part of the movie for me was not hearing the song.
Ah. The worst part of the movie for me was probably killing off the Leaf on a Wind character, Mr. Universe, and Ron Glass. I see no reason for any of those characters to have died.
I know.
That's the worst part of the movie.
It really hurt me. It hurt me to see those people die. I was in tears, as usual as I am at the end of almost every movie I watch. I was in tears because it was just, I don't know, it was kind of unnecessary, but it's the Whedon. You don't question the Whedon.
It's true.
If you question the Whedon, then you're not a fan.
The only other thing that was bad about this was that they should have had David Boreanaz come in as some sort of cameo.
You would have liked to see David Boreanaz?
Yeah, I think that David Boreanaz, I don't think he's very good in that Bones. I don't like Bones.
Wait a second. Bones does not suck because of Dave Bananas.
No, he sucks because Bones sucks and the writing sucks and it's not Joss Whedon. And I think Boreanaz had a little thing going that Joss Whedon could work with. I think Joss Whedon needs to work more with Dave Boreanaz and less with Mike the Plumber.
Wait a second.
Dave Boreanaz should be the male character. Eh?
No, that's not nice to say. You're not being very nice, Dave.
Whoa. I just think that David Boreanaz is, he's got a certain caveman brow that applies itself to that sort of role.
You know what I think should happen? I think the Whedon should come together with an Angel movie.
There you go.
Because that last episode of Angel was just like, no, I need more.
I think the worst part about Angel is the name, Angel.
Well, that was his name. That's his name.
I understand, but
and that was his no because people who are watching
no one's going to want to admit that they like that show because
Dave.
Angel.
Dave.
I'm watching Angel.
Dave. Dave.
Should have been called Vampire Killer. I want to fuck your ass up. That
Dave.
Kind of thing. What?
Everybody who watched Buffy.
Another problem. Ugh, with the name Buffy. How can a man watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer and
many
not be considered
do.
A pedophile?
No.
Not happening.
Many men and women and children love Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. I didn't watch it because of that title. I never watched Buffy. I only watched Angel because you started watching. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. But the titles throw me off. I didn't see Mystic River because I thought it was a sequel to Mystic Pizza.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Let's not confuse the audience.
On a scale from 1 to 10, Dave.
I'm going to give this a 7.
So you liked it as much as The Animal?
Exactly. I liked it a lot, though.
Going to give Serenity a 9.5.
Whoa!
Only taking away a half point.
For the death of Ron Glass?
Taking away a half point for the song not being in it. And for some killing that shouldn't have happened. But that's, like I said, I can't question the Whedon.
All right.
But I'm giving it a 9.5, and I think that is the highest I've given to any movie that we've reviewed so far.
What did you give the Dorktown over there?
I think I gave it a 9.
All right. Wow, that's pretty impressive then.
Well, yeah, that's how much I love this movie.
I liked it.
And you just give it a 7.
I liked it.
You fucker.
But I ain't a sci-fi guy.
You goram motherfucker. You're not a sci-fi guy. But can't you look at it from not being a sci-fi movie? As regular as a movie?
I did. That's why I liked it.
Okay. And the special effects were really great.
I mean, I liked this as much as I liked Star Wars, the most recent one.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say it was just as good.
Okay. Okay, well, that's saying something. Because you seem to like things and then you proceed to complain a lot about them. You know what I mean? It's like making Dave a big homemade dinner and him saying he likes it and then tearing it apart.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I know. You want to tell people about DaveAndShecky.com and the wonders that await them there?
The wonders that await you at DaveAndShecky.com are very miraculous, wonderful things. Come on down. We're going to have a hell of a time. That's right. No cover charge. No drinks. Bring your own. BYOB.
Bring your own B.
O-N-G.
What's O-N-G? Oh, bong. Bring your own bong to DaveAndShecky.com.
BYOB-O-N-G.
I like how you say it, and then you end it with the Tony Soprano exhale. Exactly. So come to DaveAndShecky.com, join our forums, join our conversations. Also, if you could, please head on over to Podcast Alley and vote for us. We have, I think we have 3 votes for this month.
Vote if you can.
Vote if you can. Vote often, vote early. Actually, you're only allowed to vote once a month. They track you. So they know you're not trying to cheat like the people in the Podomatic Challenge were doing. All right, everybody.
This has been Dave.
And this has been Shecky. And you've been listening to Dave and Shecky's
Groovy Boop Tube Review.
See you next week.
Bye.
Grr. Arg.
Take my love. Take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. No place I can be since I found serenity, but you can't take the sky from me.